Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Well, I think it's safe to say that hitting season has arrived in South Philly as one of the hotter streaks, not only for the offense, but also outside, is currently going on for this baseball team. As now we enter into July, and the Phillies start July, continuing their winning ways. Welcome on in. It is the Final Out. Jack Fritz hanging out with you. The Final Out is always sponsored by the Philadelphia Parking Authority, offering valet park at Philadelphia Airport. Yes, Phils win 10-6 tonight. One that got a little dicey there in the middle, but ultimately they were able to pull through and come out of it with a victory. And what we thought was going to be a nice pitcher's duel, quick 2-0, 2-1 game, it turned into anything but. We even said on the afternoon show today, Spike said the over-under is 8, and me and Ike were like, well, that's obviously high, which means that's probably going to go over. And nevertheless, it did go over. The game wrap-up is sponsored by Roto-Rooter. When plumbing problems hit, wrap them up quick. Call Roto-Rooter. Their team tackles clogs and leaks so you can stay in the game. Roto-Rooter, your MVP for plumbing solutions. 215-592-9494 to get in. If you're at the ballpark, you ditch the fireworks, stuck in traffic, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you watch this one on your couch like I did while also streaming the big USA win, would love to get your takes on what transpired tonight. But my biggest takeaways of the game are brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. And it was what I would describe a gritty win by the Phillies tonight. Wasn't the prettiest, wasn't the, like, last night was a crisp, clean, professional win. Don Mattingly said it best post-game in his press conference, where he said, you never really felt a sense of ease with this one tonight. And that was 100% the case. Also, quick note on Don Mattingly. A quiet intensity from Don that I appreciate. And you start to hear it more and more. And obviously, we haven't heard every single press availability of Don Mattingly before he's been the Phillies manager. And there's this... He would never say it because I think he's a nice guy. I think he's a humble guy. I think he's laid back, humble. But there is a, in the way that he talks, a gravitas of, I'm Don Mattingly. And I think that's actually a good thing for this group of older stars to remind themselves of who is now their manager. And he said after the game, and I hope it's something that they get into their skulls, because I haven't felt this the last couple of years while watching them. But if you caught him after the game, he said, this group isn't afraid of anybody. And I, like, if I'm a player and I'm hearing my manager say that, he's also Don Mattingly, who should be in the Hall of Fame, I think that there's some wind at the back of your sails. A little bit. We've seen this team lay down against some of the better pitchers in baseball. It's something that they've done. You know, the Mizrowski start was just one example of it. Chase Burns dominated this team. But, hey, maybe Mattingly's lying a little bit to get them to believe that, and I hope that that is the case, because I think it's a smart strategy. But that caught my ear after the game. There's a quiet intensity to Don Mattingly. There's a, hey, check the back of the baseball card. A little bit of Don Mattingly. Whether you want to talk about the Marsh report that he said to Steve Gelbs about how this is on you guys, and you guys got him fired, and you guys got to play for each other, and I don't care what your name is, I need you to fight for me. There was a report, I think Stott said, after the Milwaukee, that last game in Milwaukee, he said to them after the game that he was disappointed in how they played. Little things like that are starting to be appreciated. Anyway, back to the overall point. It was a gritty win, and this team could really, really use an off day. I think hitting wise is fine. Like they're doing all right, Pitching-wise, man, tonight they get wraparound performances from all of their relievers besides Duran. Backus comes into a dirty inning, hits a guy, and then gets out of it. Seth Johnson gets out of that an inning for Backus and then allows two runs. And then Kirkering comes in, cleans up his situation, and then goes another inning and does his job with the help from a great play from Alec Bohm. But it feels like they are running on fumes out in that bullpen. They need an off night. But overall, a gritty win, a game where they lit up Paul Skeens again. Paul Skeens does not look like the same guy at all. Stuff looks flat, looks hittable. He's going to make some kind of mechanical adjustment or maybe get some time off. Who knows? But he does not look like the same guy. And the Phillies jumped him for the most runs he's allowed in a game as a major leaguer. So this Phillies offense, the much maligned Phillies offense that has been a top 10 offense since Don Mattingly has taken over, you know, top 10 in almost all the major categories. Whether you want to go to average, you want to go to home runs, you want to go to runs, they're settling into where they've been the last couple of years, which is a top 10 offense in the sport. And there is a lot of really good developments happening on that side of the ball. One of them is Trey Turner. The Trey Turner hot streak, I think we can officially say, is here. He had two hits tonight, including a home run, third straight game with a home run. He has ditched the leg kick. He's going with a little toe tap. It's allowing him to be on time. He looks much, much quicker, more athletic at the dish. The Trey Turner hot streak is certainly here, and they need it. If you get Trey back to being the Trey that he's been a hot and cold player here as a Philly, but if you can get him to being Trey Turner, Schwarber and Harper are fine. With what Marsh has done this year, with two hits tonight and a home run, very good to see. To go along with Bowman Stott stabilizing, JT's just kind of there. He's more for his defense. And what Crawford's doing at the bottom of the lineup, this thing lengthens a little bit. This lineup lengthens. You don't have to cut that, Fran. But the lineup lengthens with Trey at the top being the dynamic Trey Turner that we are used to seeing. So great to see that from Trey and much needed, even if it took this late into the season to get him going. Who cares? It's a marathon, not a sprint. And then the final thing before we go to the phones again, 215-592-9494 to get in, is Wheeler. It was one of those grinded out affairs. I mean, he went 4 2/3. I've never seen him that upset being taken out of the game. I can't remember the last time he was taken out of a game before the end of the fifth inning. 4 2/3 for Wheeler today. Did not look happy to be taken out of that game. I thought it was a smidge of an overreaction from Don Mattingly. I think you could have let him finish the inning. He got two outs quickly, and then one nonsense hit and a hard base hit after that. I would have trusted Zach Wheeler to get an out there over Kyle Backus, but Don Mattingly made the move, and it didn't totally backfire on him. But Zach Wheeler threw a lot of pitches. He did get a lot of strikeouts, which did hurt the pitch count, but obviously strikeouts are good. But some walks mixed in there. A lot of base hits against Wheels tonight. So wasn't his best. He's walked more guys this year. His command has not been as sharp as it usually is. His last time out was very, very good, and it kind of felt like he maybe found it. He found the release point on his pitches. But tonight was certainly a step back from that standpoint. I also don't know how much I'm going to crush starters tonight when it was 108 on the field. Skeens gets ripped. He got hit around a little bit. Pitching in that kind of weather is just draining on the body. So I'll give Zach Wheeler a pass. We should give Zach Wheeler a pass, but certainly was not his most crisp outing of the season. 215-592-9494 to get in. On the other side, we will get to the player of the game and some other thoughts from tonight. All that's coming up next here on the Final Out on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Yes, Trey Turner capped off a 5-run inning there in the second off of Paul Skenes, as we are in the midst of the Trey Turner hot streak, as his OPS is now over 650. All of a sudden has 10 home runs on the year. Can we get the 270? He's at 239 right now. I think his last, 16 games, he's probably hitting about 360. So, oh, he's hitting higher than that. I think he's, he's got to be hitting higher than that. Yeah, he's been on a good go. And he is my player of the game, which is brought to you by South Jersey Gas. Make the smart play, save energy and money with South Jersey Gas at sjgsaveenergy.com. Couple plays in the field didn't go his way. I thought those were more tough plays rather than sometimes you take for granted watching Jimmy Rollins play shortstop for as long as we did, because Jimmy Rollins made the hard plays look routine. And a couple of those balls tonight, in your trained brain of growing up watching Jimmy Rollins, or if before my time, you grew up watching Larry Bowa, you're kind of just used to those plays being made. By Trey Turner standards, I didn't think that they were horrible misplays. It's just I don't really expect him to make those plays. When you grew up watching Jimmy Rollins or Larry Bowa, those plays were more routine. But who cares? He's here for his offense, and hopefully the defense does not come back to bite them in a big spot. So I did mention that it felt like it has been a long time since Zach Wheeler has not pitched at least 5 innings. And Matt Gelb tweeted this earlier, that it's been 53 straight regular season starts in which he has gone at least 5 innings. And that dates back to June 22nd, 2024. I'm surprised it's not even longer, to be honest with you. It feels like he always posts. He always goes a minimum of 5 and usually comes out of it with a win. And maybe that's why he was annoyed tonight, because he was one out away from qualifying for a win. I thought it was a smidge of an overreaction from Mattingly. I think he could have finished that inning and then get him out of there. He was already over 100 pitches. I think he was at 104. And it was one of those things where I was saying to myself, well, who do I trust to get an out here more? Zach Wheeler at 104 pitches or Kyle Backus? I would take Zach Wheeler at 120 pitches, to be honest with you. Some other things that stuck out to me tonight. Speaking of that five run second, I think the JT 10 pitch at bat on a night where the feel on the field was 108 could have tired Paul Skenes out, and the Phillies jumped on him after that. That was good to see. He is only hitting 201. I try not to look at JT's offensive stats, because I've just gotten to the point where I don't particularly care what JT's offensive stats are. He's here to be a defensive stalwart now, and I like how he calls the game. The guys love throwing to him. He's still good at throwing out runners. He still makes these crazy acrobatic plays to keep the ball in front of him. So everything offensively for me with JT is pretty much just a cherry on top. So a 10-pitch at bat, I think that was important in that inning. I thought it was nice that Marsh rebounded after a bad night last night, went 0 for 5, and comes back tonight, hits the home run off Paul Skenes, mixed in another base hit, and just got right back on the horse. And that's, that could be a difference between Marsh this year and Marsh in years past, is an 0 for 5 could have spiraled him. And now he's just climbing right out of it. And I do think, and they mentioned this on the broadcast, that, just being in the lineup every day and knowing he's going to be there, I'm sure has gone a long way towards letting his confidence grow. Same thing for Stott. Stott hasn't been as hot as Brandon Marsh, but he's playing every day. He's pulled himself out of the early season slump that he was in, and he's been a solid player, really, since mid-May. And that's what comes with playing all the time. Sometimes. Now, of course, it can go poorly, and you got to make a move. But when these guys feel like there's some belief in them, if they face a lefty and they get out, they're never going to face a lefty again. I'm sure that it helps them ease their mind knowing that they're going to be in the lineup pretty much every single day. And another guy, and credit to the Phillies for sticking with him, and it's really just been two games, so you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, but it does look like the game is slowing down for Gabriel Rincones Jr. at the plate. Last night, you know, worked his first walk. It was a good-looking walk. And tonight, not like there was just professional takes. And you can tell how a guy is tracking the ball by the kinds of takes that they have. And I think that the last two nights, Rincones has done a much better job of having professional takes up there. And he's not looking jumpy. He's not looking like he's trying to do too much. He just missed a home run tonight. He smoked two balls. So that was an exciting development. I really thought that they should just pull the plug and move on. And we'll see what happens when Tommy Pham is like ready to go. And I do not think that this will change their deadline plans at all. But you never know. And the guy that I saw tonight, that was someone at the bottom of the lineup that could give them some thump. And hopefully tomorrow he'll probably be in there. It's Jared Jones, another righty. They've been doing this thing where Rincones kind of plays through the seventh or sixth, and then Derek Hill takes us on home. So I think that the last two games specifically, because he had looked like a lost cause before that, things maybe slowed down for him. Maybe his dad getting into town has helped him. And I do think he's taking much more. The calling card on Rincones when he was in AAA was, we'll work a good at bat, has some power, not going to be the highest average guy, but he'll slug. He'll slug, he'll walk, and he'll be patient. We didn't see that early, but at least these last two games, we're starting to see it. So I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but at least from the standpoint of looking not completely like a fish out of water, Rincones has looked that part in the last two games. On the other side, we'll get to the wow moment of the game and a look ahead tomorrow before handing things off to TK to react to a huge night in the sports world, especially in Philly sports, here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Yes, that was our wow moment of the game, brought to you by the New Jersey Division of Travel and Tourism. From waterfalls to fairways, mountain resorts to lighthouse tours, find your wow at visitnj.com. Yes, Alec Bohm, who has had a stellar last two nights defensively, but that one there with Connor Griffin at the plate off of Ryan Kirkering. Kirkering does his job, but obviously if that ball gets by Bohm there, that is extra bases, that is an 8-7 ball game, and who knows how the rest of it goes after that. So Alec Bohm, huge play there, had also the home run late, which was good to see. You know, him and Stott are the two guys where they were so bad early in the season, and it's not like either one of them has lit the world on fire for the last month and a half. They've just played solid baseball, and they've just stabilized their seasons. I know the overall numbers don't look great, but if you watch them for the last month and a half, they look like decent ball players. So you do look at the lineup, and the Rincones thing is a good development. I still think that they're going to have to need to get a real right fielder, but with a lot of the developments on the offensive side right now, JT's the only one where it's not an automatic out, but he is hitting 201. Other than that, with the way Trey's going, with Schwarber, Harper, Marsh, Bohm, Stott, get a right fielder in here, and then Crawford at the bottom of the lineup, another hit for Crawford tonight, good to see. He's been on a good stretch as well, much like Trey. And you could have the makings of a pretty deep little lineup here. Who'da thunk? They need help. They are a flawed team, but lineup looking pretty deep. They have the two horses at the top of the rotation and a Lizardo, who I still really believe in, could use a fourth starter for sure at the deadline. Bullpen, probably need one more arm out there. I've never missed Brad Keller so much in my life. Like, you start thinking about the leverage arms, and it's like, well, Alvarado, Kirkering, good, but still worried about him in a tight game. After that, without Keller, everyone is pretty much a question mark right now, besides, obviously, the guy closing out the ball games in Juan Duran. So, yeah, a lot of good developments with this team. Offense has been doing their thing. They destroyed Paul Skenes tonight, which is very encouraging. And it's all good stuff. Now, tomorrow, it is a 12:35 game. There's been, apparently, before the game, URAM said that there's been no talk of moving it back or even moving it up, because it is going to be a hot one, middle of the day down there at CBP. That sounds miserable. But it's going to be Alan Ronhell scheduled to start the game. Now they've had Tim Mazza be the opener for him the last two times out, and it's worked pretty well. He was really good up in New York really until the end, where he shouldn't really have been out there anyway. But you know, heading into tomorrow, you like Ronhell can take down the middle portion of the game. Maybe Mazza opens it, and you see where you're at bullpen wise. I mean, I think Kirkring will be good to go, especially the off day on Friday. Bolin should be good. Duran should still be good. So, yeah, the bullpen really, they're probably counting down the days until Friday. Brad Keller, I think, will be back. They think he could be back before the All-Star break, which would be huge. You got to get him back just for another competent right-handed option out there. But it'll be Alan Ronhell for the bulk, if not starting the game, versus Jared Jones, who another one of these Pirates pitchers who has sick stuff but hasn't totally put it together yet. He still has the ability to go out there and shove anytime he toes the rubber. So, Phils will have their work cut out for them again as they go Bubba Chandler, Paul Skenes, and Jared Jones, and back to back to back. So, we will see how it goes, but at least they split the series, and tomorrow they can go for a series win to take 3 out of 4 over the Pirates. Well, that's going to do it for me. Francisco Rojas produced the program tonight. Coming up next, finally, we can talk about the Jaylen Brown trade and everything else going on in Philadelphia sports and the United States as they win tonight in the World Cup. So TK is coming up next. He's got you through the rest of the night here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.